This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. There's a small book written by Sheikh Abdul Mahsin al-Abbad. It's called Ahamiyatul Inaya bil-Tafsir wal-Hadithi wal-Fiqh. That the importance of giving concern to Tafsir, Hadith and Fiqh. So we're going to take a small glimpse at this book and discuss some of the matters pertaining to it. We see that the first thing that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he mentions over here is the tafsir. And when he's mentioning tafsir, he is referring to the tafsir of the Quran or the speech of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So now firstly, what is the Quran? Let's take a brief definition of the Qur'an. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is sent down upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the angel Jibreel. In reading it is an act of worship. And it began from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to him it shall return. This is a brief definition of what the Qur'an is. And the reason we gave such a detailed definition is to separate everything else from it. So when we mention that the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this takes away all other forms of speech. When we say that it's descent upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the angel Jibreel, it replaces certain aspects of the sunnah which were particular to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we say that it is worshipped, that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through reading it, we distinguish it from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the sunnah was a form of revelation as well. So this is why we gave such a detailed explanation, to take out any forms of confusion that may take place. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in many places in the Quran that he sent the Quran as a form of a reminder, and that the Quran is there to reflect upon and to learn upon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in various ayahs, the examples or the likes of وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ, that indeed we have facilitated the Qur'an as a reminder, so is there no one that shall be reminded. And likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ, so remind with the Qur'an those people who fear the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that those people who fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remind them with the Qur'an. And likewise, you have the famous hadith of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ, that the best of you are those who teach the Qur'an, sorry, are those who learn the Qur'an and teach it to the people. That those are the best of the people. And lastly, we have the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, which is also one of the hadith in the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, that the beginning of the hadith it goes at-tahuru shatru al-iman, and towards the ending of the hadith he goes on to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wal-Qur'anu hujjatun lak aw alayk, that the Qur'an is a proof for you or against you. So these are some of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said or has mentioned pertaining to the Qur'an, and how the Qur'an is a reminder for the people, and how in reading it and reciting it and reflecting upon these verses is benefit for us. And in abandoning it is severe punishment. And you see that one of the greatest examples of this punishment in abandoning the Qur'an is actually seen in Surah Taha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these ayat, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قال ربي لما حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about a scenario on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and he's mentioning on how there will be a group of people who turned away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obviously the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, فَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ, so he who turns away from my remembrance, then for him shall be a life of hardship and congestion. And he's talking about in this dunya, that if you turn away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that it is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to each and every one of us here today, that if we turn away from His remembrance, then we shall have a life of hardship and congestion. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they shall be gathered as people who are blind. قَالَ رَبِّي لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. Oh my Lord, why did you gather me as someone who was blind when I was able to see? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. And thus our ayat and our proofs and our message came to you and you neglected it. So today you shall be someone who is neglected. So subhanallah al-azim, in reflecting and learning the Quran, not only is there our benefit in this dunya, but also in the akhirah as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us and will grant us good. And in the abandoning of the Quran and the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a punishment and gives us a life of hardship and restraint, not only in this life, but in the hereafter as well. So that having been mentioned, we now know what the Quran is and our responsibility to it. Now what exactly is the tafsir of the Quran? The word tafsir is actually a more modern day word for the word ta'wil. The word ta'wil and tafsir are actually synonyms of one another. If you look at the titles of the earlier books of tafsir, you would see that a lot of them were called ta'wil al-Quran. And what they basically mean is the understanding of the Quran. So the science of tafsir is something that is used with principles and qawaid that allow us the understanding of the Quran and understanding the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to understand from it. So this is what the science of tafsir actually is. And what makes the science of tafsir so beautiful is that it covers all other aspects of Islam. That you will find scholars who make tafsir through the use of Arabic. You will find scholars who make tafsir with the Quran itself. You will find scholars who make tafsir with the Sunnah. And likewise, you will see that the tafsir not only covers the Quran itself, but it covers aspects of the Sunnah, covers aspects of the Seerah, covers aspects of the Arabic language, and covers all the sciences of Islam. So this is one science that encompasses it all. So some of the more famous books of tafsir, like we mentioned, the head of all tafsir was the book of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, which is commonly known as Tafsir al-Tabari. So this was the head of all of the tafsir books. And then after him, you had the tafsir of Imam al-Baghawi. And then after him, you had the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. And then after him, you had the tafsir of Imam al-Shawkani. These are just some of the more famous books in tafsir. Now obviously, these are only available to the speakers of the Arabic language. But even to those who don't speak the Arabic language, you know, it's from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has bestowed upon us Ibn Kathir in English. The abridged and summarized version of Ibn Kathir is now available in English. So when we want to learn the Quran and study the Quran and know the message of the Quran, it's available in English. And likewise, it's available in Urdu and in Somalian and any other language you may think of. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us these blessings. Now, I'm noticing that the brothers are falling asleep here. So I'm going to give everyone a small activity. One of the ways of making tafsir of the Quran or understanding the Quran is making tafsir with the Quran. And someone who was a specialist at this was Sheikh Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti rahimahullahu ta'ala, one of the great scholars of our time. He passed away rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he has a very famous tafsir called Adwa'ul Bayan. And in this tafsir of his, he mentions on how through an ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha we establish that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I'll ask firstly, can anyone, you know, take a guess what's the ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha in which he used to as a proof that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was supposed to be the Khalifa? That's our first question. Which ayah would he use to prove that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Take a moment to think. Ahsant, that is correct. Sirata alladhina an'amta alayhim. Now, how did he prove that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam through this ayah?
say the best of Sahaba in terms of those who were favored Abu Bakr. So we are supposed to tread the path of, we're asking Allah to tread, to then also tread the path of the favored.
Okay. That's a very general response, and it's good. It's very accurate as well. But remember, the what we're trying to achieve is making tafsir of the Qur'an with the Qur'an. So we got the first ayah, we wanted to think of the second ayah. The second ayah is an ayah which is also very commonly known and heard. Even though we, most of us might have not memorized it, it's an ayah that a lot of us know. In the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing the khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu by relating two ayahs. Even though it's very vague and ambiguous, it's still, once you contemplate it, you're like, wow, it's actually quite clear. Anyone want to take a guess at it? I know the ayah you're referring to, but that's not it. It's in Surah An-Nisa. That doesn't help, I know. Okay, you were pretty close. You said that those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed their blessings upon. So now there's a famous ayah in Surah An-Nisa where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent blessings upon. Afwan? No, it's not that ayah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you missed the most important one, the Siddiqeen. Okay. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this Quran that those who obey Allah and His Messenger, then they shall be with فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. So, وَحَسَنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, then they shall be with those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored and bestowed His blessings upon from the Nabiyeen. So obviously we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Khalifa of this Ummah at his time. Well, not the Khalifa, we shouldn't use that term, but he was the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was the Imam of the Muslims at that time. So then that was the first category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah. And the second ayah, the second category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah is as-siddiqeen. And who was as-siddiq during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was no other than Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Imam al-Shanqiti rahimahullahu ta'ala, he uses this ayah to prove that through Surah Al-Fatiha we can prove that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I just remember the first time that I actually came across that when we were studying Surah Al-Fatiha, I was just blown away. I was like, I mean, I knew both ayat. How many times we've studied the chapter of the importance of the sunnah and the blessings of following the sunnah, and we came across the ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put us amongst the ranks of the Nabiyeen, Siddiqeen, Shuhada'i, Salihin. But I never related the two. That I never thought, wow, this is actually proof that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I remember the first time I came across that, I was so like mind blown that it literally brought me to tears just how beautiful the Quran was and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us knowledge in the most easy of ways and at the same time in the most intricate of ways as well. So this is one of the ways that we see that the scholars of tafsir actually make tafsir with the Quran as well. So I'm looking at the time, it's 8:30 right now. Salat al-Maghrib is at 8:45. And I know that even if I continue until 8:45, I won't even finish the chapter of tafsir itself. So, bismillahi ta'ala, what I'm thinking about doing is that if Abdul Munim grants us permission, then maybe maybe on Monday, inshallah, we'll actually finish the whole book. Maybe on Monday, Maghrib to Isha, and then I'll end up leaving on Tuesday. So we'll extend it another day. But for the time being, we'll stop over here with an example of the tafsir of the Quran being made with the Quran. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us life and tawfiq, then we'll continue with the rest of the book on Monday, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And starting from tomorrow, We'll start with the biography of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, then we'll take an introduction to Tawheed and Shirk, and then we'll actually start with the text of the four principles. Inshallah, I think we should be able to make photocopies of the text in Arabic and in English so everyone can follow along. And then we'll go through as much of the explanation as we can. Bismillahi ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So that's it for today.